311.
Good afternoon and welcome to yet another edition of the 311 Radio Show. It is another Sunday and I am your host, Fire and Life Safety Officer Jason Collins. And we are into the first Sunday of August. So the year is really progressing quite nicely and quickly. And pretty warm as well at this time. I have a special guest with me this afternoon. I have Mr. Selwyn Brooks. Mr. Selwyn Brooks, and he's a consultant to the DEM. And DEM, if you would remember from a couple of previous radio programs, means the Department of Emergency Management. For those who are unaware of that term, unfamiliar with the term DEM, it simply means the Department of Emergency Management. So good afternoon to you, Mr. Selwyn Brooks. How are you doing?
Good afternoon to you and listeners. I'm here abiding by the grace of God.
Good
and
stuff.
I'm glad to be here with you today.
Good stuff, good stuff. And I'm glad to have you here as well because for those who are constant listeners to our program would notice that we have had some interactions quite frequently over the last couple of months with members of the DEM. We had Miss Doriel Skinner, we had Miss Joyanne Johnson, and now we have you, Mr. Brooks. So we've kind of formed a little bond and a relationship over. We did have that bond over the years in terms of that we work, you know, together in a lot of different ways out there, especially during emergencies and so forth. But in terms of the radio program, we've had you involved for the last couple of months. In and out, you know, so it's always good to have you here with us. So we have Mr. Brooks this afternoon, who is a consultant to the Department of Emergency Management. Mr. Brooks, you are here because we want to have a special discussion about something special that you guys are doing. You want to elaborate as you want to start as telling us exactly. You have an exercise, I understand, that is coming up. Am I right?
That is very correct.
Right. So we have an exercise.
Eagle Eye.
Sounds interesting. Eagle Eye. Sounds like, you know, Eagle Eye is usually associated with sharp vision and that kind of stuff. So I know the Department of Emergency Management, when it comes to looking out for the persons in the country and when it comes to safety and so on, I know you guys are always on top of your game and you know, looking out for the safety of the Barbadian public. So I'm pretty sure that this has something to do in relation to that. What is Eagle Eye? What exactly is it? You know,
exercise Eagle Eye is a drill in which the members of the district emergency organizations across the country will be participating in come 16th, 17th of August. The concept of the Eagle Eye is the Department of Emergency Management, who have overarching responsibility for the coordination of emergencies and disaster response in the country. The district emergency organization are affiliated with the Department of Emergency Management, who are a group of civic-minded individuals who are drawn from their respective constituencies. And they bring their skills, their training, and their love of country to assist the department in the establishment and the enhancement of their community resilience programs to the many hazards or impacts that will happen from time to time. So the whole concept of Eagle Eye is that the DOs will be en masse across the country looking down at what can happen and bringing to the fore the level of their training, and so that we can see what are their capacities, and the country itself will be able to see us busy being around on that particular day, effectively carrying out a number of exercises that will very much likely fall into our scope of work should the island be impacted. And exercise Eagle Eye is a hurricane simulation exercise.
Right. Well, I was thinking as you were speaking, and I find it, you know, a little ironic that it would be at this time, because we know we are still well into the hurricane season, or even though you've been more focused on our just concluded crop over festival. And I guess right now the reality would hit back home that we are still in smack in the middle of our hurricane season. And over the past couple of days, I would have heard, that about a couple of systems that are in the air, so to speak. And that's basically what you hear between the June and the down to the end of the year. Basically, you hear about system after system, and we are monitoring this and monitoring that. So it is quite ironic that you would have this smack dead into the middle of the hurricane season. I hear you, I heard you mention something that I just want you to explain to the public, so our listeners up there. You said about the DOs. What is a DO?
Well, as I said, the DOs comprise those civic-minded individuals who are drawn from the various constituencies from which they live. They are a group of men and women who have that resolve that they will come together to assist the Department of Emergency Management in building community resilience. From time to time, you have a number of issues or impacts in our various communities, so by allowing these persons to be trained in a number of disciplines, they act as first responders in some cases until persons like yourself arrive on the scene so that we can report what has happened in the initial stages and
Okay.
the relative agencies will take it from there.
Quite interesting and quite good as well. Now, the actual DO, as it said, the name, what does that, for those who might not know, some of our listeners, DO, what does that stand for, so to speak, from
This
the
that
Department of Emergency
is
Management perspective?
that is that is the District Emergency Organization.
Or DEO, District Emergency Organization. So DEM, the Department of Emergency Management, and the DEO, or DO as he called it, would be the District Emergency Organization. And those, for those of you listeners who were not aware before, at least you have gained some knowledge today where that is concerned. I heard you speak of to the level, to the training, the various sets of training that the DOs would have had. What level, at what level of training did they receive?
Well, the training program, especially over the last 2 years, have been pretty extensive. Fire response. We would have done some training even at your academy in the use of the fire extinguisher, and also
Okay.
persons were able to grasp the concepts of fire safety so that they can apply that knowledge as they interact with their community persons. Another vital component of our training is what we term community profiling. You can only represent or seek to serve your community if you know what's in it. So
Very
within the
true.
community profiling, you're able to identify the vulnerabilities, the hazards, and what can go wrong or what is likely to go wrong, so we can bring that information to the relevant authorities so that they can effect some level of response before, preferably, in some cases after. Vulnerability assessment, that will allow the DOs, while they are going through their responsible areas, to identify vulnerabilities, and that also include vulnerable persons, because you will recall that from time to time there will be persons who will be deemed vulnerable because of their profile, whether it be elderly, and not I want to stress on elderly because we do have vulnerable persons who are also young, and should they need some level of assistance, having identify these persons before impact, especially in the case of a hurricane, we can offer some level of evacuation to safety if the need arises. We also do assist the statistical department in the damage assessment after an impact. This is very vital after a hurricane impact. The country needs to know what is the level of damage that has occurred. So they will perform that level of damage assessment and submit information to the statistical department. You would have seen with the passage of Hurricane Elsa, several roofs were impacted, and we have trained a cadre of persons to the correct installation of tarpaulins, because I'm quite certain driving around the country, especially over the last 2 weeks, there are still some tarpaulins that were not correctly installed, therefore they were not effectively used. And that is a resource. So the DOs being able to help the community for the effective and the proper way of installing these tarpaulins, which is a temporary measure, to reduce the level of water damage that is likely to happen as a result of a damaged roof. The safe use of the chainsaw. From time to time, also in St. Joseph in particular, and certain parts of St. Philip, where we had several trees that would have come down as a result of the weather, and you would need to safely, and I like to emphasize the word safely, because the chainsaw is one of the most dangerous tools that you could want to use. So a cadre of persons would have been trained to safely use the chainsaw so that they can effectively assist in the road clearance, so that some level of restoration of transportation and utilities can be facilitated. You would find from time to time the erection of fabric at the shelters. Talius has come on board with a product that has proven to be pretty effective in terms of it can also be quickly installed. So some DOs have been trained on how we would erect this hurricane fabric at some of our shelters across the country. Of course, ready communication. After an impact, there's very likely that our communication system may be down. And by the use of the VHF radio, we will still have some level of communication between ourselves and the national EOC. The application of first aid should the need arise. And more often, you will find that in shelters or in our day-to-day, an accident's response or anything that happened in the community, that level of first aid can significantly reduce a situation escalating to an emergency or to a disaster. And last but not least, the interaction with the number of response agencies, the fire, the BDF, the police, the National Assistance Board, and other agencies that we interconnect with as a result of an emergency or disaster. How do we manage that interagency collaboration and cohesiveness in the deliveries of what we're hoping to do? And crisis analysis in decision-making after impact. One would appreciate that sometimes the trauma associated with an impact can severely impact, using the word a lot, how people respond. And in disaster circles, we tend to say that we don't want a person to react. We want a person to act. So decision-making processes. So these 12 areas that we have embarked on the training over the last just under 2 years, the whole exercise is hoping to bring the level of what persons have learned in these training modules and see how they can effectively apply their training in a number of scenarios. And we're doing it in the peak of the hurricane season. And let's hope that Barbados will continue to be best and will allow us to do this exercise on the 17th of August.
Right. That was actually going to be the next thing. I was going to ask you the date of the exercise. And as you said, the 17th of August. So those of you who are listening, put that in your calendar, the 17th of August. And that is a Wednesday. That gives us just under 2 weeks thereabout. Yeah. So, you know, put that in your calendar and make sure that you go out and be a part of it. You know, I'm pretty sure that Mr. Brooks will be, and the rest of his team at the Department of Emergency Management would be very glad to see persons from the community participating and wanting to be involved and showing interest in such a wonderful gesture. Now, while you were speaking, there were a number of things that you spoke to as it related to the training, the levels of training that your personnel would have gone through. And one of the things that stood out for me was the knowledge of your community. And, these are some of the things that I would have mentioned here, even from our perspective as firefighters, in terms of knowing your community and knowing the persons, the vulnerable persons within your community. You also added that vulnerable does not necessarily mean elderly. There are some persons who are young who may have challenges of some sort, physically or otherwise. And it is very important that if you want to create a more resilient community and a more resilient community response, that you are able to know, you know, the challenges that you're going to be faced with should there be any form of emergency or disaster, you know, to happen to us. And that part, as I said, stood out, is also the need for persons knowing first aid, because like you rightly said, the EOs are going to be the ones on the ground. The persons within that community are going to be the persons on the ground. Usually when an emergency takes place, whether it be a natural disaster or otherwise, the fire, the what we call the frontline agencies basically are not necessarily the first ones there, because we only respond to a call. Basically, we are not aware. We would not, for example, the fire service would not know that there's a house fire unless somebody makes that initial call to activate our services, and vice versa as it relates to police and therefore the Barbados Defense Force, etc. But persons in the community, as long as they are resilient, they are able to either mitigate or in some way prevent a situation from becoming a lot worse if they are trained in certain areas. I said, you mentioned first aid, you mentioned the use of a chainsaw, as simple as it may seem. And as you did rightly say, chainsaw is one of the most dangerous pieces of equipment that you can use if you don't know how to properly use that piece of equipment. And it is, you know, it was interesting to hear you speak about the persons being trained in the correct use of that as well, because oftentimes during the hurricane season, we ourselves would get calls with persons saying they're fallen trees and so on, blocking the path and so on. But if a person is comfortable and is trained to use that chainsaw, he may be able to help himself out a little bit before the Barbados Fire Service gets to his aid or one of the persons from the EM and so on. So definitely you're on the ball, and I'm definitely on the right track in terms of the things that you have the personnel trained in to help the community before the emergency personnel arrive on scene. So you did speak to the level of training. And why, I it might sound a little strange, a question, I probably think I should know the answer to this, but why are we doing this particular drill at this particular time? Why now?
Okay. When one consider simulation exercise and drills, what are we hoping to achieve? It is one of the most effective training and evaluating and validating processes. So I've just spoken about the level of training that we would have exposed our members to. It doesn't mean, or it should not be taken for granted, that because you would have had a training program, that the level of exchange of information and the effectiveness and what you're hoping to achieve, a drill will give you the opportunity to see in first hand what are the levels that person would have attained and what gaps you may need to address as a follow-up to the level of training and how they perform. So we're doing this at this point in time because there's a lot of work still to be done, but you cannot, it's always best to take off bite sizes so that you can evaluate what you're doing as you proceed along a particular path. Now, the district emergency organization members are fluid. People come and people go. But training has to be sustained all year round. It is not a hurricane season training session. It's training that is applied all year round, because we can have some level of emergency or impact anytime based on the hazards that we are likely to face. So by continuous training and by continuous having evaluation and simulation and drills, that is one way of allowing us at the department to know what levels of capacity lies within the membership, and therefore can identify the other areas that we need to emphasize on or what we need to correct. So that is the reason, and it is coming at the optimum time, because we are a disaster response agency. So therefore, I will hope that we have some rain. I don't want to say a hurricane, but if you are having a simulation exercise, I would very much like to see us carrying out this exercise, Eagle Eye, under similar conditions, but at a reduced magnitude, if you get the point, I
completely understand what you're saying. You didn't make mention to the fact that training is one thing, but the only way you can really evaluate if learning has taken place, so to speak, as we would say in the department or Barbados Fire Service, is that you can only evaluate that if there's something to evaluate it. But if you do constant training, constant up-to-date, things change as well. And apart from that, you know, to know that someone has learn something, the only way to know that is some form of evaluation. And those drills, and I say it to persons all the time when they go out there to do evacuation drills at certain business places and so on. Sometimes people think that is a complete waste of time. But you know, there's no such thing as a perfect drill or a perfect exercise. And these drills give you a good idea, as you said, as to where you are and where you want to be, and the what steps are necessary for you to get from where you are to a place of where you feel more satisfied or comfortable with the competency of your of the charge of the person that you have under your charge. So I do understand you completely as it relates to the exercise, because you know, from a perspective of firefighting and so on, we also do continuous training to make sure that you stay current, that you stay relevant, and that you're always on point, so to speak, because you know, you never know when something happens, and oftentimes we take a lot for granted. We take a lot for granted. You also mentioned that you also mentioned that it would be nice to have a little rain, and I smile when you said it, because out there when we are conducting you know drills, persons tend to say, man, you know, we don't the sun hot way at this time, or sometimes the rain might be drizzling, and persons say, oh yeah, bring me out in the rain, and I always say to them, what if an emergency occurs in the height of a pouring rain? I have fought fires already in pouring rain. I have fought fires in pouring rain. So I'm saying that what if, God forbid, something was to happen at the establishment that you are at and it is raining, would you do what? You're going to stay inside the building that is burning because the rain is outside pouring? These are the things I always draw to people, because we have to be realistic. We have to be realistic. Nobody knows. And I always say to people, an emergency does not call and say to you, I come in tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So we can never be prepared, so to speak, in terms of the timing. What we can be prepared with is the resilience and the way in which we respond to that said emergency. And the only way to be sure that we, and even then you don't always be sure, but to be at least comfortable and more confident in that you would respond in a particular fashion, is if you continuously train. If you continuously do simulations and exercises to make sure that you're on point to a certain level. So I quite agree with you in terms of having, you know, those things in place and having that. Just remember though, a reminder to you, the listeners, in case you've just joined us, we're here with Mr. Selvin Brooks, a consultant to the DEM, and the DEM is the Department of Emergency Management, for those of you who are unaware. It is on the 17th of August, which is Wednesday, the 17th of August, so in a couple of weeks. And a simulation exercise named Eagle Eye, put on by the Department of Emergency Management. And it is about basically looking at the work and the capacity and significance of the DEOs and that kind of stuff, and the training that they were involved in. You started to mention it, but I'm still going to ask you some of the players involved. We don't have much time. We have about 7 minutes or so left within today's show. Yes, the time is quickly sped
Oh,
away from
quickly.
us, as usual. You know, they say time flies when you're having fun. But I just want to ask you a few quick ones. Like, for example, who are some of the persons involved? I know you did say, I know the Barbados Fire Service will be one of the entities definitely involved. And you did start to mention a few of them. So if you want to, you know, just go through them quickly as to some of the members who's involved in this whole exercise, Eagle Eye.
Yes, we have been very fortunate to have inputs from the Barbados Police Service, the Barbados Fire Service, the Barbados Defense Force, the Disability, National Disabilities Unit, the Ministry of Education, Technological and Vocational Training, the National Disabilities Unit, the Roving Response Team, and the Barbados Citizens Band Radio Association. And you would have gathered from that field of individuals, they play a major role in the emergency response capacity in the island. And this would allow the district emergency organization members to interface and interact with these agencies, because that is what will likely happen if we are impacted and they
Correct.
have to carry out their function in their respective communities.
Correct.
We will be operating. We have 30 district emergency organizations, and we have zoned them into five zones. So we will be deploying them from five locations across the country. And that is Christchurch Foundation School, Queen's College, Combermere School, Corps Empire, and Cuthbertmore Primary. Now, we have approximately 195 persons that would who have made themselves available for the exercise. We have approximately 900 District Mercy Organization members across the country, but it's a work day, so every person will not necessarily be available. So Barbadians will see those blue shirts busy around the country on the 17th. It actually starts with some prompts on the evening of Tuesday, and that is just to prep persons to know the hurricane is coming, what you need to do. But when the all clear is given on the 17th, the exercise will reality and start around 9 o'clock after they would have arrived at their respective SCOCs, which is Satellite Emergency Operations Centers. I think that the level of engagement and enthusiasm shown thus far from the members, and also the benefits from the tuition and the guidance from the response agencies, sets the tone for a very successful exercise. And we at the department look forward to engaging the DOs, the you persons out there in the community, as you see us moving around on that day. Give us your support, because we are here training to help you. I think in Barbados, there's still too high a level of complacency to emergency. So I think this is an opportunity for the DOs to showcase what they're capable of doing as we attempt to serve the persons in our community. But before we wrap up, may I mention of the community profiling? And I know you will love to hear this. Part of the community profiling is to identify the fire hydrants in our communities.
Definitely love
because
it.
if I had to ask a question to the general public, do you know where the nearest fire hydrant is to your home? Many of them will say no, but they expect you to know that. Now, you don't install them.
Correct.
You don't install them, but the community profiling would identify, because we are hoping that within the shortest possible time that we can deliver to the Barbados Fire Service the various maps showing where all the fire hydrants are, so that when you roll out to an incident, you have an idea of where you can either replenish one of your appliances or run a direct feed. And that has to be seen of a significant a value and assistance to the fire service. So that just goes to show, just as we identify the vulnerable persons, so the district emergency organizations has its tremendous role to play. And we are asking for the general public to acknowledge what we are doing. Give us the critique, but let it be constructive if necessary. But I assure you, and speaking on behalf of the DOs and the department, this exercise is going to be a significant value in our capacity building and our community enhancement program going forward.
Well, I quite agree. You said a whole mouthful in this half hour that has gone way too quickly, but I am pretty sure based on the things that you said and the things that you mentioned, I smiled when you spoke about identifying where the hydrants are, because you are very right in saying that, one, we don't live in the communities, we don't install the hydrants, and very often we go into the communities and we want to find a hydrant and we ask person in the community, do you know where the nearest hydrant is here? Persons do not even know what the hydrant looks like. There are a few persons who would know and who would say, oh, you mean those little metal things in the ground, the little, but persons think hydrant because they watch television, they think about the pillar hydrants, which are the standing ones that you would see in places like the United States and so forth. But our hydrants here are a bit different. And a lot of persons don't know what they look like. You kind of open a whole new can of worms. And I, Mr. Brooks, I am pretty sure that this is something that we could go on for another half hour if we had it. Unfortunately, we don't have it. We have run out of time. I want to say a big thank you to you for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak to us here today and to highlight your program, which is an exercise called Eagle Eye, put on by the Department of Emergency Management. And mark that date in your calendar, people, on the 17th, Wednesday, the 17th of August, the entire country is expected to, you know, participate and be involved in this beautiful venture put on by the Department of Emergency Management. Thank you once again, sir, for passing through and spending some time with us and shedding some light on that particular exercise.
Thank you for the opportunity as well.
No problem. So we have come to the end of yet another 301 radio show. I am your host for this afternoon. This is Fire and Life Safety Officer Jason Collins, and I had with me a consultant to the Department of Emergency Management, Mr. Selvin Brooks. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend. Stay safe. And as we always say at the end of every 301 radio show, fire prevention is our intention. Bye-bye and have a wonderful week, Barbados.
On the Barbados Fire Service 311.